This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. This message, entitled We Are the Church, was delivered on March 10th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
They are so graceful, and I think they've been coming back to our anniversary for the last, I don't know how many years, and we are so blessed to have ladies who use the hula to worship God, and they use it to bless other churches. Man, give them another hand. Thank you so much. What a beautiful day. We have so many wonderful people in this fellowship. And I know if you get to sit down and hang out and talk story with the people that you don't yet know, you will discover what great people we have here. Genuine, good character, loving, and you know, it's just part of our family, and we get to just hang out, and God has blessed us with each other. This morning, I want to ask Randy to come up, and maybe he can bring his wife. Randy's been doing devotions with us on Wednesdays for the last month or so, and Randy is a farmer. He's a farmer from Missouri, and his season here right now, this is his last Sunday because he got to go back and farm in 0 degree weather or 10 degree weather. I don't know what, I don't know, maybe he can farm ice cubes or something, right? But he is going to be leaving us this week, and then he's going to farm, and then when it gets colder back again, he's going to come back. Jeanette's going to be hanging out over here with us because it's warm. And then when it gets warmer in Missouri, then she's going to go and visit him, right? But I wanted to pray for him because, man, you get to sit down with this guy and you fall in love with him. He's such a wonderful man, and he started doing devotions with us, and I just kind of like, man, this guy is an awesome guy, and I love you, and we want to pray for you because, man, we're going to miss you. And we're going to make sure she's well taken care of, right, family? Amen. When her sink, something goes wrong with her sink, we're going to be there, right? When she needs that deck around her swimming pool, we're going to be there. Right, man? But would you stretch out a hand? Lord, we thank you so much for Randy. Thank you for blessing us with this wonderful couple in our fellowship. And Lord, as he goes back to Missouri to farm, we pray that you would warm up the grounds, warm up the temperature so that he can plant his crops. Lord, and we pray that you'd keep him healthy, keep him safe. Lord, and we pray that when he plants and then he harvests, the harvest will be 100, 1,000-fold, Lord, that his storehouses would not have enough room and that he would be successful. And when it's done and when it gets winter, you would bring him back here safely again for another season. So, Lord, we ask that you would take care of our brother as he goes away, keep him safe, and bring him back here safely. And Jeanette, while she is here, Lord, that you would keep her safe. Help us to look out for her and make sure she is always safe and protected as she stays back here. And Lord, we love them dearly. So bless them and keep them safe. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Yeah. I love you guys. You know, if you get to sit down with people in this fellowship, they are just as beautiful as they are. And we have, I look at that and I see so much of you that I wish everybody could know you like how I know you, because they would be like, wow, we got some really great people in here. We got plumbers, painters, and contractors, and doctors, and no lawyers, I think. Not yet, anyway. And no dentists yet. Do we have any dentists in here yet? No, well, but we have everything you pretty much need in this church, and it's just a wonderful gathering, And I ask you, keep inviting your family and friends so that we can just expand the good news of Jesus Christ beyond this building. Amen? Man, it's like, it all feels, seems like just a few years ago that Christy and I were called out of New Hope Hilo to come and start this place. And when that day came, when he said, we need you to go out of the, like, get out of the nest, get out and go and spread your wings and go start your own church. And, you know, I think there's claw marks of on my office, like, no, I don't want to go. I love it here. I'm comfortable here. God does not call us to be comfortable, right? Man, and it was so uncomfortable coming out of there and coming into here and saying, they say, okay, we're gonna support you for, let's say, 6 months, you know, the salary and the medical and stuff like that. We're gonna support you for 6 months and see how you do. I think after 2 months, man, they just cut the line, man. Says, see, you're doing good. Psst, see you later. And it's like, what? Where's the 6 months? No, you're doing great. Like, what? And it was so spooky just coming out of it. You take so many things for granted. You know, you go up there, you turn on the switch, and boom, you're good to go. Over here, you got to come unlock the gate, set up the chairs. It's a good thing I have this beautiful wife. Yesterday evening at about 5 o'clock, we're watching TV, and there's nothing good on TV. There's really nothing good on TV. So, hey, honey, why don't we go to the school and set up the chairs? She looks at me, okay. Like, how many wives would just say, yeah, okay, let's go. Come, we come over here, and we get a chalk line, and she pulls it, and we snap it, and we start setting up the chairs, and we're having a blast together. Like, and I'm thinking, like, man, she is on board with me doing this church thing, and I'm so thankful that she said yes to one, you know, and she's still willing to come here on a Saturday evening instead of, like, going out to the movies and stuff, because Saturday nights, we don't do much because of I get ready for Sunday morning. And she is just so on board to come and help me do things. Like I said, we started this back as a care group in our home back in like 2001. And we went from house to house. We went in Paradise Park. We went Aina Loa. We went all the way. Our care group actually moved all the way up to Kaumana, down up by Country Club Lane for one season. And we moved all around the community, and we started to grow and grow, and that's when the pastor said, oh, it's time for you to leave. And it's like, you're kidding me. And so it was in 2008. In January 2008, my wife and I went to Spokane to some classes. That's when the first time we were walking, and it started to snow, and we were walking, and we were like, and all these guys from Montana and Seattle look at me like, you're weird. And they ask us, this is the first time you've seen snow? She goes, yeah. Oh, now I understand. It was so cold. One morning we woke up, it was 0 degrees. And it's like, man, who would want to live in this nasty, nasty place? And they sent us there to do this training called Church Planting Intensive. And it was, like, very intense. We had a room down the hall that could not lock. You were in your room for just to sleep, pretty much, and you were in class from early morning until late at night. I had the flu. I was miserable. Every break, I ran to my room to use the bathroom. It was just miserable. I think the people thought I was unsociable, but I was just not doing well. I got hit by a snowball from another pastor from Hawaii. It was like... And it started then, and then Easter in 2008, we started the plan. It was actually March 9th that we actually started. And Pastor Dennis was here with me in the beginning. Some of you who were here in like the first 4 or 5 years, we made this cross 1 year. And I forget, it was our first or second or fifth or what. I know Bernie knows, and Neil guys was here. If you look closely, there's signatures on there. We wrote our names on there just to commemorate our anniversary. And that was just so many years ago. I think it's time to get that re-signed by all of us, huh? Just to make a mile marker and a momentum of where we've been and where we're going. Amen? Well, God has given this church, you know, pastors and teachers and elders, and together, you know, we have Sunday school teachers, we have worship team. Together, all of us, we form the body of Christ. Because when Christ went up to heaven, we became his body. We became the ones that are going to take the gospel and do the work. Amen? That's what we're called to do. And that's what part of the church is. But we're going to talk about that this morning, about the church and what it is. And if you have, how many of you brought your Bibles? I see when I'm at the greeting table, some of you coming in, you guys holding your Bibles like, yeah, I brought my Bible, yeah. And I encourage you to bring your Bible so that we can write in it, mark it up, highlight it. I mean, yeah, you have your iPhones and everything. That's great. You can highlight. I hope you can highlight your iPhone and do that. But if you open up to 2 Timothy 2, so what, you know, what is the church? What do we do? What are we here for? Are we here to just gather on Sunday so we can come and eat? Yeah, some of you like, yeah. Spiritual food. Spiritual food first, and then we can do the physical food. So today, of course, is our 11th anniversary, so we get some really good. I cannot smell the food now because of this beautiful lei. It smells good, this lei, but I know if you guys back there, you guys probably could smell what's cooking. But I'm going to talk about us as a church. And number one, the church, the purpose is to guard the proper teaching. Yeah? We are that's what we do as a church. We got to make sure what is taught here is biblical truth. 2 Timothy 2. 1-2. Second, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay? So what we learn here, we got to make sure it's sound, biblical first, and then we get to teach it to the other things. One of the things that I learned on our Thursday night class is the mouth cannot repeat what the ears does not hear. Did you notice, you ever tried to talk to somebody who's deaf, they really can't pronounce the words because they don't hear it, so they can't pronounce it. So we spend time with God, we hear God, and once we hear God, we can repeat what God says. Because if we don't hear it, if we don't hear the biblical truth, if we don't hear the voice of God, then we're not going to be able to repeat it anywhere. So it says, whatever we learn, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay? So we equip you, we teach you. Why? So that you can go out there and lead someone else to Christ. Amen? If the church, which is us, were to consistently follow this as advice, it would expand. As believers would teach others and commission them. Like I said, we need to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Amen. Because if I try to disciple 5 guys and that's it ends there, it's only 5 guys that are going to get discipled. But if I disciple 5 guys and those 5 guys disciple 5 more and those 5 more disciple 5 more, then boom, explosion. Amen. And that's how we not add to the kingdom, but we multiply to the kingdom. So that's what we're trying to do. On Wednesday morning, I pick up one middle schooler and two high schoolers, and I take them with me. I buy them breakfast, and we read the Bible. And I'm investing in their future. See? So if we was to follow this advice in 2 Timothy, where we teach, and we have those who we teach others, then we would expand God's kingdom. See, as disciples, we need to be equipped to pass our faith on. God doesn't save us just to save us. If that was the case, we would say, Lord, come into my heart, forgive me, cleanse me, change me, boom, we'd be in heaven already, pow, gone. But he saves us so we could get others saved. Amen? Our work is, I think our work is never done here. Some people ask me, when am I going to retire? And I say, can you retire from serving the Lord? I say, yeah, when I die. You know, I want to serve the Lord till I die. You know, maybe till the last dying breath, get somebody saved. Somebody who's maybe giving me CPR. Say, hey, you know Jesus? Accept him now. Poof, then go. Yeah, that'd be the best way to go. As a church, we are to make sure that what is taught is sound biblical truth. We need to guard this, and we need to learn it so that we can share it. Amen? Number two, to discipline believers. Oh, that's a tough one, yeah? But we are. We need to. Matthew. And if you have your Bible, Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 18. And if you're really used to your Bible, you can bang in it right there without the tabs. I pride myself like without the tabs because I love to turn the pages and boom, and they're right there like, yes. Matthew 18, 15. And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. No, go like, hey, you knucklehead. Right? Private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, then let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. Wow. So, in this scripture, Jesus is giving us guidelines for dealing with those who sin against us. Okay, these guidelines were meant for Christians. Okay, not that unbelieving coworker that sits next to you. Okay. These are for sins committed against you, not your friend. Yeah. And conflict resolution, that's what it's for, is for the within the church, not for the whole town of Hilo to hear. Yeah. Jesus' words right here is not a license to attack every person who slights or hurts you. They are not a license to start gossiping about others. They are not designed to reconcile those who disagree with who are, like those who are not Christians. They are designed for us as Christians to be reconciled to each other, so that as Christians, you and I can live in harmony, even if we may disagree. And even if you disagree on political stance, you know, we cannot be fighting about it, and then the people on the outside, look at those guys at church, they're fighting with each other. Is that what a Christian is like? Because I don't want that. It's in the context of this scripture, it is for us as believers, how we correct one another without gossiping how we reconcile each other, how we forgive each other. And that is what the church should be doing. You know, I see people who it's like, I don't go to church because of what so-and-so did to me. And I'm so sad when people say, someone stabbed me in the back at church, so I'm not going to go to church anymore. And it's like, breaks my heart. And you try to bring them back, but they're so mad that they don't want to come back. So what else? What is a church for? Number three, to become more like Scott. No. That means you're going to shrink and get shorter. To become more like Christ. You're going to get shorter, your hair is going to turn white. And then what? We all look alike. Ephesians, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Look, I can't even find that one. Galatians, Ephesians. Yeah, you know, these pages are so thin. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Man, we, as the church, you and I, need to grow up, find our place, where we fit, where we serve, and once we start doing that, we can expand, we can do different things, more things, reach out in more places. We need to grow up and be more like Christ. Christ forms us into a body, a group of individuals united in our purpose and in our love for one another and the Lord. And if one of us stumbles, because we all stumble, right? The rest of us is here to help them up. We pick them up and restore them, help them with their walk with God. If some of us sin, then we find restoration. You know, we go out and we share. We work as one body, each individual part, but different purposes. Amen? Because if all of you was the worship team, we probably could fit all of you on stage, but nobody be out there. Right? If all of you were up here preaching, who would we be preaching to? Empty chairs. Right? Or if all of us was out there, then nobody be up here. But we all have different purposes. If, you know, we have some Sunday school teachers in here who do a great job with our children. We have worship team. We have people who cook. We have all different parts of the body working together to make this the body of Christ. And we grow together. Amen? As part of Christ's body, do you reflect on what part you are? Where do you belong? Where to carry out your role with your special gift? Think about it. Where is your special gift? Maybe you play an instrument. Maybe you sing. Maybe you love to cook. How many of you love to cook? Because I love to eat. I love to cook because I love to eat. And so, you know, where you love children, you say? Did I hear you say that? You love teenagers? Yeah, we need people to teach our teenagers and our children to read the Bible. Right? Because it would be sad for them to grow up and say, like, I went to church all these years, but nobody taught me to read the Bible. Seriously? Yeah, it happens. Next one, number four, the church. We are to be unified in Christ. Galatians. Galatians is one book over from Ephesians. Galatians 3, just turned like two or three pages over. Bless you. Galatians 3, 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one in Christ Jesus. You know, they say back then, some of the Jewish males greeted the morning by praying, "Oh Lord, thank you that I am not a Gentile. I am not a slave." You know, faith in Christ goes beyond these differences and makes all of us believers one in Christ. Sometimes it is uncomfortable to hang around people who are different from us. But we like to hang around those we know. I like to go and hang around the fishermen, because we like to talk BS about how big the fish we caught. Yeah? Yeah, you guys know what I mean. Right? And sometimes I like to hang around the contractors because I like building stuff. Right? And we hardly gravitate to the other guys. I mean, when I get to hang out with Doc, I get to learn about all these things. What's wrong with my body? Why is this and that? And what, you know, is this infected, Doc? Does it look bad? And, you know, it's interesting. You look at the stuff that he got to figure out. But sometimes we tend not to gravitate towards those who are different. But, you know, we need to, because we'll find, like, hanging around with Randy, who's a farmer. I mean, the only thing I farmed was, you know what I mean. Yeah, you laughing because you tried that yourself, huh? Yeah. And it's interesting because he farms soybeans, and I love soybeans, and he farms other corn and stuff like that. Like, and I love eating all those things, man. I should go hang out on your farm. I could eat all those. You could farm them, and I'd eat them. But, you know, when we hang around with different people and get to know them, we'll be unified in Christ, even if you don't have that much in common. You know, when we talk about church, the word church tends to have a very specific image attached to it. You know, and this, when you think about it, when you, the traditional church, you pull in this driveway, it's like, that's not a church. Like a building. You know, there's no steeple outside. There's no sign outside with some funky saying about God and hearing his voice. You know, when you think about the traditional church, you look, okay, yeah, I see the steeple, I see the cross. You know, that's a church. And sometimes you think, oh, the word church, we think about that building, that mid-sized building with the cross, the steeple, the white doors, and, you know, all those things, and the air conditioning. Yeah. One day. And growing up, you know, most of you can remember that the church was a building where people went on Sundays to pray and do other religious stuff, right? That's what you thought when you were growing up. A church is where you go on Sundays. Yeah. Maybe you reject that idea of the traditional church image. Maybe you think the church is gathering at a school cafeteria, coffee shop, you know, maybe down at the beach here with all the distractions. But even without the steeple, the sign, many of us think as the church as the place to go, right? You got up this morning, hey, honey, we're going to church, right? How many God this morning, okay, we're going to go to church. It's Sunday. That's what we do. We go to church. Yeah. Of course, you know, when you think about having a fixed location, you know, that's not a bad thing. Whether your church is a traditional building, or a house, a mall, coffee shop, a school, whatever your location is, that's a great way to reach the community. But if you think about it, back, you know, you're reading the book of Acts, maybe you're in like chapter 2, the early church. You know, the folks, the people back then, if you told them, you know, you told Paul and Peter, and hey, we go to church. They would look at you like, huh? They would look at you with some confused look because they understood themselves to be the church. The church wasn't a building, wasn't a tent. It was them. It is us. You and I, we are the church. Amen? Today, as you travel to church this morning, it's easy to lose sight of the reality that you're not just going to church, but you are the church. Reality. The place where we meet shouldn't matter. Embracing church as a place can cause some problems. Church, therefore Christianity, we put it in a compartment. When we see it as a place, we tend to compartmentalize our lives. And this has a lot to do with the location and the place and the day. Okay? When we think of our lives as Christians, we look at Sunday. Okay? Sunday is church. Sunday is the totality of my church experience. Because that's it. Sunday comes one day a week. This is church. It's on Sunday. It's here. That's it. Church. It's in a box, on a property, in a place. Come Monday, I'm not at church. Church is over here. Come Tuesday, I'm not at church. Church is over here. Come Saturday night, oh, I got to go back to church tomorrow. When we think of church as right here on Sunday, and that is it. Kind of spooky, yeah? Is that the totality of my church experience? Our mindset can transfer over to our lives as Christian. And that's it. That's my Christian life. Sunday church at church. Whew. That's kind of spooky when you think about it. Sunday church at church, and that's it. What about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? But we got to change our thinking. So obviously, being the church should go beyond the building, beyond the day. Beyond this building, think about it. Beyond this building, beyond this day, you are the church. There are so many people out there who want and who need the hope that each and every one of you have. So many out there. And if we compartmentalize church as Sunday right here, then that is it. But when you take it out of that compartment and you say, I am the church. Church is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too, right? And you are the church and you have the hope that many people are trying to look for. They find it in drugs. They're trying to find it in sex. They're trying to find it in cults. And they're not. They are not. Church, and therefore Christianity, is limited when we see it as a place and on a certain day. If you go to church and are not the church, then, man, we got to change our thinking. Because when we go to church and we're thinking that we're not the church, it kind of allows us to justify being less than what God created you to be. The building becomes a place where people are supposed to be presented with the gospel. And you invite people here to this building, hoping that I will share with them and they will receive Christ. That's great. I will gladly do that. But there will become a point in time where I might not be there, and you have that responsibility to share Jesus with somebody. What if they're dying? What if they're in the hospital and you're the only one there? And I'm somewhere down in Kau fishing, and I can't make it back in 20 minutes, and that's all they have left. What are you going to do, let them die? I hope not. There's going to come a point in time where you're going to have to say, hey, brother, do you need to receive Jesus? And you're going to have to be bold, and you're going to have to pray, and you're going to have to pray that sinner's prayer with them in the hope that they say amen, and then they go kaput, and then go to heaven, because that's what we need to do as the church. Amen? Finally, the church, and therefore Christianity, is isolated when we see it as a place. You know, people, they say, oh, I don't need to go to church. I can watch it on TV. Yeah? There's a lot of people, I can see it. I can get exactly what you get. I can watch it on TV. Not really. You're going to get a hug from the TV? Seriously, you might get shocked. Yeah, and if they're watching it on TV on any Sunday, that's great. They get sick Sunday after church and they go to the hospital. Nobody knows. Nobody comes to pray for me. Well, because you don't go to church. You're not part of it. How are you going to get that hug? How are you going to get that fellowship? How are we going to know if you drop dead? We're not, because you're not part of this fellowship. So when you're not here for a couple weeks, man, I miss you guys. I got my radar on. And I kind of know who's missing. You know, they can get a lot of great things from the TV, but they can't get what I have with each and every one of you. The hug, the encouragement, the prayers, the breaking bread together. That is like the best part of church. The best part of this fellowship is afterwards when we eat. Amen? Yeah, you know, nobody's scared to say amen, because sometimes I don't want to listen to me either. And my wife doesn't want to listen to me sometimes either, because I'm me. So we got to take church out of this building, out of this box, out of the day. And church is us, and it's every day. Amen? Amen. So when you leave today, man, you're going to leave empowered. Say, I am the church, and it's every day. I leave you with this scripture, Hebrews 10:25, and you want to read that with me. Hebrews 10:25. Oh, look at that, two turns and I'm there. Oh, God, you're so good. You're just showing off, God. That's God, not me now. I'm going to read from the NIV version. Hebrews 10:25, on whatever version you may have. It may not be on the, yeah, because I want you to turn to your Bibles or your iPad or your iPhone or whatever Bible app you may have. Hebrews 10:25, who's there? All right, read it for me. Just kidding. The temperature just went up. Hebrews 10:25, let us, the church, not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay? Let's not give up on meeting together. Not Sunday, not Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Let us continue to meet for prayer, for encouragement, for love. Because we are the... We are the... Yes, we are. Amen? All right. I'm going to close us in prayer now because, oh my gosh, I went like way over. Sorry, guys. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Man, if you want to be a part or you want to be the church, all you got to say is, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And if that is you, I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I ask that you would pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? God bless you. Anybody else? Lord, you have seen the hands. And they said yes. They have become the church, part of your body. Help us to equip them, to grow them. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be here for these 11 years. And I pray that you would allow us to be here many, many more. Help us, use us to change this community. Use us to equip those who are saved and reach the lost, those in need of hope. We thank you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. What are we singing? Oh, Salt and Light, but that's a good song. Listen to the words, because when you go out there, you are the church, you are the salt and the light to the world. Salt makes everything taste better, and light shows the way. Amen. Would you stand with me?
So, Pastor.
Yes, sir.
If somebody asks me what church I go, I'm going to tell them Al's.
Yes, the Church of Al. The Church of Al. We meet at Christian Liberty School.
What I should say is Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.